up, my brother?
What's up, buddy?
You still got cold weather up there?
You know, today is the sun shining. There's no clouds in the sky. You know, it's a beautiful day out. Yeah, right? You know, and then it'll be followed by some rain for the rest of the week. But you take them when you can get them, right?
Exactly. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. We got to talking during the week. And I said to you, I saw this person on Instagram who started following us. And when I gave his name, you're like, yeah, I already follow him. I'm like, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
But I started checking out his page, checking out his YouTube stuff. And I just thought, you know, I talked to you. I'm like, I think this guy would be right up our alley to share some stories.
Absolutely.
Yes. I only heard them briefly, but he has some very good Sly and Rocky Balboa filming stories.
Two of my
most I just thought it would be, what's that?
Two of my most favorite things.
Right? I mean, how could you go wrong? You know? So he's a Paisan. He's from Philly.
All right. So
I thought, you know what? Let's get him on the show, and we'll kind of see where we go from there and then take it from there. Nothing wrong with having another local Italian. Well, kind of local Italian. I guess I'm the furthest away Italian, aren't I?
Yeah. Is he going to bring some Gino's or pads? Right?
Anything. Some pizza, know? Something. Can't get it down here, that's for sure. Anyway, we got to stop yapping. We got to bring on Vincenzo. Come on, Vinny. Where are you? Vinny from South Philly is his handle. There he is.
Gentlemen, hey, hello.
All right.
Pop this up here so people know where to find you. Just leave that up there for a couple minutes. But how you doing, pal?
Doing great. Thank you very much. I appreciate the offer to come on board. I'm a big fan of your site, of your podcast. I think you guys are exactly like what you said, right up my alley.
We appreciate it. But like I told you, we do it for fun. We have a great time doing it. You know, we're not, I mean, don't get me wrong. If it's something happened where, you know, Rick and I started going bigger and things happened, would I turn them down? You know, probably we would not, you know, but in the meantime, we're just having fun being two over the hill goofballs and talking about Rocky and et cetera out there.
My question though is, did you bring some Pat steaks with you?
I'll tell you what, I have a long list of favorites from Philly, so I have to let you know my little secret places and spots. But yes, of course, there's Gino's, there's Pat's, there's Phillips, there's Campos, there's Angelo's, you name it. We got a long list.
Yeah, that's something you have to share. I know we had talked about you're going to be up there because we're coming up for the Rocky run. Right. We'll have a tent up there. So yeah, you will definitely have to meet up and maybe grab a slice or have a cheesesteak and check out the local haunts.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let me get into the, you know, first of all, again, I'm a big fan of you guys. I love what you're doing with the show. And again, such a timeless character, a timeless story as Rocky, it deserves to be told in perpetuity. And I always say that what Stallone did will last far beyond any of us for generations to come.
Absolutely.
I mean, and I'm preaching to the choir here, but for the fans and the guests that are listening, I mean, it's just the ultimate underdog story, and the way he wrote it and how it was done and the story behind Stallone and the way what he went through to get it done is a beautiful thing. I've been lucky to have grown up in, you know, the, you know, ground zero, if you will, of this whole thing.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And
I grew up right at Tethin Christian in the heart of the Italian market. And, you know, you grow up knowing everything, you know, people that knew Stallone, people that were in Rocky One, kids that were running behind him in that scene.
Oh my God.
That's awesome.
You hear all the stories, you know, but some of the things that are very interesting about his story is that there was a time and where him and his brother were here in Philly. His stepfather were friends with certain people that my father were friends with in South Philly. So there was a connection there. And, they were only here briefly though. So growing up, I remember being in grade school and they shot, I believe it was Rocky V with his son, Sage, God rest his soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, we got to get down there. I forget what grade I was in, maybe fifth, sixth. I forget now, but we didn't get a chance. We went there. It was all kinds of people and, you know, the whole deal with the setup with the trucks and craft services. So I didn't get a chance to really sneak a peek. And plus, you know, my mother was screaming from me from the window for me. So I can never get away too far. So fast forward a few years, he comes to town and it's time to do Rocky Balboa. Now I said to myself, this time I'm old enough to make sure I get there without my mom screaming at me. It happened to be the day where they shot in the Italian Market. And for those that don't know, the Italian Market is in 9th Street. That's 9th and Christian. I grew up at 10th and Christian. So I said, you know what? I was busy. I was actually on my way to work. But I said, let me go ahead and take a shot. And I'll go there and just see if I can sneak a peek or maybe even get a shot. And I had those disposable cameras. You know, this is before I had a real phone.
Yeah.
So we had the little disposable cameras.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I go down there, and you know, there's actually some good clear shots that I could see of Stallone, and I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And I'm just standing there. All of a sudden, like, they take a break. Stand-in comes in, and I'm like, some woman comes up. I don't know if she was a PA or whatever. And she's like, hey, she's like, would you like to be in the movie? And I was like, looking around like, me? I was like, sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So I jump in there and I don't know if I had a look or whatever. Maybe I had, you know, I guess it was from the neighborhood. They wanted somebody from the, who knows?
Right.
Divine intervention perhaps. But so I go in there and they let me in behind the ropes and I'm standing there with Stallone and well, he's standing. And then Stallone comes over. And there was two scenes that we did. One was in Cannoli's, which is a meat shop. And, you know, I opened the door up for him. And actually, he opened the door for me. I walk in and we go in together. It was just like really interesting.
Oh, my God.
I had a few lines.
And you had lines too?
Yeah, I had like two lines. Nothing big.
That is awesome.
And so then there was one more scene. And that was it. And I got to meet Frank Stallone for the first time. And we were chewing the fat and tell him about the mutual people that may have been friendly with his stepfather and the whole deal. And it was cool. We had a great conversation. He was very down to earth. And that was pretty much it. Thankfully, I got their autographs. And it was a great day. And I'm thinking, oh man, I can't wait till this comes out. You know, like yeah. This is awesome. They made me sign SAG waivers. I had the whole thing, you know.
Oh yeah.
So fast forward, the movie comes out. I'm nowhere to be found. So they cut me out of it. just my luck. But yeah. I don't care because, again, I got his autographs, which I should have brought with me. I could have showed you. But, I got to meet him. You know, that's the important thing. Wouldn't ask him for the autograph. Now I'm a little bit too old for that. But it was a nice experience. So, and they were both very much, like, it was like talking with someone from down the street. Very cool.
Yeah.
They didn't lose that part of them.
No, that's agreed. Awesome. I mean, agreed. Rick and I had the pleasure of meeting both of them as well. And I agree with you 100%. As you saw on the page, I wound up talking to Frank for an hour or so. I mean, it was just like you said, you feel like you know him. You know, it's so crazy. It's just the Italian, welcoming gene they have when you have somebody in your house.
Yeah. Right. How disheartened were you when you saw the movie? And you were nowhere there because I was in Creed 2, and I was in a scene where Bianca bust through me. I was a Barclays security, and she came running through me to go to the ring when Creed was knocked down, when Florian, Baby Drago, punched him when he was on one knee. And I, after that scene was over, and I waited for the movie, and I was like telling all my friends, and I go to the theater to watch it. I'm like, son of a bitch. It's not there.
Well, boys and girls, for those of you that are actors and actresses out there, remember one thing, you may not make it to the final cut, but it's okay.
I didn't know that.
The experience. I mean, look at the experience you had. You can sit here and say I did a movie, you know, with Sylvester Stallone. I mean, it's just, or any actors. I mean, you know, you did it with Florio. I mean, anybody. That's not a lot of people could say that, regardless whether it makes it into the film or not.
No, I know, but I mean, I feel your pain, Vinny. I feel your pain.
I'll tell you what, I haven't washed my hands since. I don't know. It's been many years now.
People start looking at me funny, but that's all right.
But now let's fast forward. The story doesn't end there because then we fast forward. No, I'm sorry. Around that time, I was working for the Four Seasons in Philadelphia. And I started out in a local neighborhood Italian restaurants. One of them was very popular. My very first job was a place called Palumbo's, which if you're not from Philly, you may not have heard of it really unless you're from the Northeast, but Palumbo's was like the ultimate Italian restaurant, nightclub, Italian American boarding house is how it started out. But it was a hot spot before the casinos came to Atlantic City. And Sinatra was there, Mario Lanza, the Rat Pack, Jimmy Durante, you name it. I mean, everybody was there. Wow. Point of my story is I started out in that world of Italian restaurants, and then I gravitated towards hotels. So I worked at the Four Seasons. When I worked at the Four Seasons, that's where they were staying. Stallone was there, Burt Young, the whole gang. So a few days later, I'm in the lounge area. Who do I see? Stallone, Frank Stallone, Burt Young. So, I'm like, hey guys, remember me? They're like, hey Vinny.
No way, really? That's great.
Wow. I couldn't believe it. Like it was, and they were very. I stand at the bar with them and chatting away, And
how long between the first meeting and the second meeting?
I think it was a day or two. It was a day or two, I believe. It might even have been a day. I'm thinking 2 days. They weren't. I can't remember. It's been so many years, but it was either the next day or the day after.
Really long, though. Yeah. Okay.
No. All right. Yeah. It wasn't. No. So they probably, that's how they probably remembered my first name, whatever. But and I made it a point to keep stressing my name when I first met them. But aside from that, Burt Young was sitting at a table, and he. I was actually serving. So I went, I got him, he asked me for a water. I gave him the water, and he gave me a $50 tip. I couldn't believe it. I almost felt bad to even accept it, but
For less water.
He was just so nice. And I had just a brief conversation with him. He was very open. And just, again, I felt like I couldn't believe these people were being so nice to me. You figure they're in Hollywood, they're beyond all that. And beat a kid. No, they were very pleasant.
That's amazing. Wow. It's so good to hear.
Yeah.
And it's not like they were just up and coming either. I mean, they were already extremely huge established stars.
Oh, yeah.
Hear that at that point, I mean, that's really nice to hear. Yeah.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah.
And then, there's more.
All right.
It's like a late night infomercial.
Keep it coming.
Then we move to 2008, where I make my big entree into Beverly Hills. So I decided one day to jump on a plane, go visit my friend Leonardo out in California, because Leonardo he was my best friend, grew up in Philly, and wound up getting out there and getting married to his old college sweetheart. So I took the offer to stay with him. I said, yes, I will. And I jumped on a plane and I went to California, and I got hired the first day.
Oh, wow.
At a place called Il Fornaio. I actually got hired in two places, Cafe Roma, which is the Mecca of all, that's where all the stars used to hang out.
Yeah.
So Cafe Roma hired me and Il Fornaio hired me.
Across from Mulberry Street Pizza.
Yeah.
Cafe Roma.
Yeah. I don't know if Mulberry was there in 2008. It might've been, I don't think so. I don't know. But anyway, so the reason why they hired me is because I could speak Italian. So I think when I went there, I tried to impress both managers. One was Giovanni over at Cafe Roma, and I forget the woman over at Renaio. But anyway, so they hired me based on me being able to speak, and the East Coast thing maybe impressed them. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then
we know how to work on the East Coast. So that gave you a step up right there.
Oh, yeah. And at that point I had worked Four Seasons, the Ritz-Carlton, right, and like other places.
Right.
So I guess I had the experience as well. So when I was working at Il Fornaio, I would get done work and I would go over and kind of walk over to Cafe Roma, and Giovanni kept trying to recruit me. When are you going to come work with us? Right. But I would go there and hang out, and I would always see Frank Stallone, and he did remember me. So I was like, hey, Frank, remember me from Philly? Remember it was back in the day? Oh, yeah. I don't know if he remembered me, but he was very gracious again about it.
Right. So cool.
But that was, I didn't see Sly out there, but I would see Frank every so often.
Very nice.
That's awesome. Now you brought up earlier, or not earlier on the show, I shouldn't say that, when you and I were talking. I'm going to put something up on the screen here. You brought this up.
Oh, boy. Now we're going to, this is where you get all the comments.
It's gravy, not sauce. Now for you, it's called, for Vinny, I'm sorry.
Right. I'm glad I'm not in studio, but from my world, it was always gravy.
It's gravy. And Rick, what about from you?
It was sauce.
It was sauce.
It was sauce. Grandma and Grandpa were from Sicily and Naples.
Now, it's funny you said that they were from Naples, because now I'm from New York City, and my grandparents were from Naples, and my grandfather's from Genoa. My grandmother's from Naples. Always called sauce.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you would think. They called it gravy.
Really?
Swear to God.
I've never heard it called gravy. Like I've that.
As a matter of fact, my girls call it gravy, and we live in Florida.
When I think of gravy, I think that's what you put on your mashed potatoes.
I heard it was a Southern Jersey Philly thing.
Okay.
But Northern New Jersey calls it sauce. And then in New York, it depends on the area. When my grandparents were from Brooklyn and Bronx, they called it gravy. And then like other areas called it sauce. And yeah, it depends on where they came from. Because gravy really in the Italian world, and Vinny, you know, it's a meat sauce. That's what the Italians call the gravy. And supposedly they wanted to try and Americanize that term. I don't know how much validity there is to that. But
every Sunday it was, you know, we're having sauce at Grandma's.
Yeah.
Every Sunday at 1 o'clock, we're having sauce at Grandma's. Okay.
Now, speaking of that, Vinny, I watched your interview with Giovanni Russo, and you guys were talking about the Sundays at get-togethers everybody had on Sunday every week that don't exist anymore.
No.
And hearing Rick bring that up, I mean, I heard your thoughts on it on your show, but share them with us now.
Yeah, great. I would say, and let me just take one step back and say that I think both are right. Sauce or gravy. I mean, I say vodka sauce.
Yeah,
I don't say vodka gravy. It's vodka sauce, right?
Yeah. So, that's true. You know,
As it tastes good, who cares?
Exactly. Both are, in my world, you know, listen, both are correct.
That's true.
My parents are from Calabria and they came over in 66. They said gravy. My aunt from Naples, she would call it gravy. Raul, you know, or ragu is kind of the dialect. But I think I finally figured out why that is, because I was talking to a friend of mine who's an actor and a screenwriter in New York, my buddy Frank Mancuso, who finally, I think we cracked the code on why it's called gravy. So apparently when the Italians came over, they wanted to impress their Anglo-Saxon neighbors or neighbors that weren't Italian, who were like, what is that you're eating? You know? And so they would call it gravy because they understood what gravy was as opposed to what they were trying to call it. So it may or may not be the origin of it, but I think that they tried to adapt to an American culture. And you're right. I think it started out in Philly, because then the people in the Italians in South Jersey started out in Philly for the most part.
Right. Correct.
For the most part, they started out in Philly and then they gravitated towards South Jersey. So going up to now your question, as far as Johnny Russo, I do see a comeback of the Italian culture. You gentlemen probably see it too, but you're starting to see it. They just had Paisan Con over in North Jersey. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it, but they're starting, even online, you see some of these things that are just increasing in popularity. And you would think it's like, you know, we grew up with that. You know, what's the big deal?
Right, right.
But I see a resurgence of love, appreciation for the traditional Italian cuisine, mannerisms, dialect, language, you name it. But, and with that being the case, like with me and my kids and you know, my wife and all, we try to at least, you know, get that Sunday dinner going together.
Yeah.
It may not be the Sunday sauce or gravy, but it is Sunday dinner. And typically, traditionally, we should do the gravy or the sauce, but I think Johnny was onto something. He mentioned in that show, you can watch it, by the way, I'll do a plug. Vinny Presents is my YouTube site. He says in there that he's trying to work on something where he maybe dials in the people, which I thought was a pretty good idea. But we should try to encourage doing that, whatever culture you are, whether it's Sunday or it's just, there's something about getting that family together. And I think studies have been shown that families that eat together like that and have that time together do fear more better.
Absolutely. And it's harder now. I get it. People say it's, you know, my girls, I mean, we live down here now. All my family is up north still. You know, you had all your aunts and uncles and cousins right around the corner. It's easier for you to do it. A lot of families are moving apart. So I do understand it. But like you said, there's no reason not to keep a little bit of that culture going. You can keep it going. I mean, we have an Italian festival coming up next Saturday that my 17-year-old daughter told me about. You know, so she knew about it. It was on Instagram, and they're having it down here. Like you said, it's there. It is out there and coming. I won't say coming back, because like up in the areas in the Northeast, it never really went anywhere. But I think it's starting to come back now, where it's going to be a lot more visible. I hope, anyway.
Well, I'll say this, Tony. Yes, it's always been there, but it diminished over the years. And now I have to say I'm impressed by young people. Even my kids are like, 11, 9, and 7. They're interested in knowing more about it. So that gives me hope. I mean, yeah. I was involved in a lot of organizations growing up, and I was the kind of guy that was, wanting to pound the table and let's really push our culture forward. The problem that I always encountered was, and I'm sure a lot of people can understand this, is when you're dealing with established organizations, and this is not a knock on, there's too many good ones, so it's not everybody, but there are certain ones that you get involved in, and they don't really do enough to push the culture. They're more worried about giving each other awards, the proper way to say espresso. That's not what it's about. You got it. And it gets too political. Who's getting the freebie dinners? It gets really stupid, and those of you that are out there in those organizations, if you have any leaders that are more concerned about, selling tickets to events, you got the wrong leadership. But it's going to take a combination of good leaders, celebrities, and movers and shakers to really keep this thing going, because the average person, as we're caught up in the American hamster wheel of working, paying taxes, and trying to feed families, and it's hard to really do anything.
No, agreed. No, I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you said. Did you say you were able to go to PaizanCon, or you missed it?
I missed it, sadly.
You missed it.
Okay. But I want to give him a shout out. I had my underboss there, Frankie Meatball. All right, Frankie Meatball. If you don't know who he is, he would love him. He's a great man. He's also on YouTube, Cooking with Frankie Meatball, another plug. But Frankie's a great guy. He was part of that event. He did a lot of behind the scenes for them. So he got me some shout outs, luckily. But I was watching from people were sending me footage. I was talking to some of the people there. Johnny Russo was there. I was dying to meet Eric Roberts.
That
would be nice. I don't know if he's Italian or not, but you know what? I think we should adopt him if he's not.
Well, like that was the little tagline they had on that poster. You don't have to be Italian to come to, Paizan Fest. I mean, I get it. It's a great culture. Johnny was saying on how he was going. He had actually Robert Bruzio was going.
I was going to say he put some stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
From it.
There was a lot of people there. You're right, Vinny. I don't know. I'm going to look up right now real quick. I don't know if Eric Roberts is Italian. I never heard of it, but it doesn't mean he's not.
No, but it was everybody I spoke to had a blast. And big congrats to Nikki Petito and all those guys there and the Wise Guy crew and all those people that worked so hard to put that together. You guys did a fabulous job. I would love to see more of it. And I actually sent a message. It's a lot of work. It's not like it's taken me anything to say it, but it would be great to see those type of things like maybe every 6 months. Who knows? Or to see them in different cities too. I mean, it's Florida, you probably got a great amount of Italians down there. A lot of people that moved from up here have found their home in Florida now.
Yeah, over on the east coast of Florida, there's a definite larger. The coast I'm on, the west coast, I have most of the Phillies. So a lot of Philly people are down here. And then the West Coast is more New York, New Jersey.
Are the Philly transplants, are they behaving or?
Depends. Depends on time of year it is. It depends on where you are. Yeah. They come down. Now the transplants start to adapt, but the snowbirds don't. Snowbirds come down Memorial Day to Labor Day.
So you'll know that if they're from Philly, Rick, if they have socks on with their sandals on the beach.
Yeah.
then they're
well, and let's face facts. I mean, New York and Philly have some of the most, and Boston have the most distinct accents you could ever find. I mean, you could hear wooter 1,000 miles away or water, like I say it,
I always wondered how we got
but you're right. I would love to see it around.
you wonder how these slangs, how these dialects, these you know, it's a wonder how they evolved over time. I always tried to figure that out.
I know.
Not sure if it's the Swedish or Irish or German influence, maybe. I don't know.
Especially the Boston one. That's like some of those are real hard to understand. You know, Boston.
Yeah, if they got those hardcore
going. Nabah.
They got the Oz.
Yeah.
New York has the Oz. You know, it's like everybody's all over the place. But yeah, you're right though. I would love to see it in other cities down here or in Boston or in Chicago. I think in Vegas it would do phenomenal. You know, and then it would grow and grow, like you had said in the show. I think it would snowball every year to be bigger than it was the year prior.
Well, what I like to say that I found to be true, not just in that sense, but in all, anything you do, success builds upon success. So once you got a nice little showing the first time, the second time it'll be bigger, the third time it'll be huge. It'll just keep snowballing. As long as you have all your stuff properly planned out. And,
right,
you know, and you got all the right people that are behind things. And then, you know, of course, like in Philly, I'm not sure if it still happens. We had a wonderful wine festival. It was like a de facto Italian festival. It was called Vendemmia. I'm not sure if it's still active. I apologize for not knowing that. But I know for a while, like the city came in and tried to basically over enforce it, you know, in fact, use the word shakedown. But it was just like it was a bunch of people that came out that made homemade wine. It started out in a parking lot and they just got together with some wine, you know, gabagool and homemade wine. And then it turned into like this thousands of people in a big park.
Oh, wow.
But those are the type of things that are really a lot of fun and bring. And oh, yeah. Like I said, it's de facto Italian festival in that sense.
That's awesome.
Your Sunday dinners. Do you remember? I'm sure you do. What they usually consisted of as far as the food and how many servings. And do you remember all that?
Well, it was just us because, you know, my parents came over, so we didn't have, we had a lot of aunts and uncles, but it was mostly just us, the five of us. So my mom would be up early, you know, with the traditional making of the gravy. And it was usually, my favorite always was like the sausage. She would make, and I use her recipe to make really great meatballs. The meatballs, yes, she put pig's feet in there. I know some people are going to be aghast. Listen, when you start, it's good for your skin. The collagen itself is very good. But
like Rick said, I don't care at this point. I'll take any recipe. They all taste good.
It was good. Listen, the flavor of the sauce. See, I'm calling it sauce now. It was great. pieces of lamb, pieces of beef. The beef was the I forget the name of it. It's expensive. They kill you in prices now with it, but it's the short rib. That's what it was. Short rib.
Mm-hmm.
But I ate a lot of traditional stuff, you know.
I remember Brajal. Do you remember Brajal?
Brajal.
Oh my God. I mean, I salivate. See, you think back to those days and I'm just like, my mouth is watering. Cause you know, hey, grandmas were like my grandma's, man, she could cook and would cook for an army.
Well, that's the thing too. You got to remember, a lot of people may not know. Maybe some of the viewers don't know. Some may, but when I eventually went to Italy and discovered my family there, and I seen how it was, I didn't really believe the stories until I found out firsthand. But there was a period of time where meat was a commodity. You know, a lot of the people in those areas, even you know, families like mine that were pretty much farmers, they raised livestock, but they would sell you know the meat. And it was very, very seldom did they eat meat. It was mostly a vegetarian diet because people were poor. I mean, that's the facts. We got to face the fact, and we should appreciate that, you know, a lot of those people weren't able to read or write because they didn't go to school. They didn't, you know, my father didn't have shoes until maybe he was 10. You know, those are real things that really happened.
Yeah.
And meat was a commodity. So that's why now, like, we're so spoiled and, you know, but we got to remember our humble beginnings.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
no, absolutely, absolutely. What else you got, Rick? Any other questions for Vinny?
Oh God, yeah. I mean,
actually, Vinny, you got to go soon. I know, right?
Well, you know, I'm catching my flight out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going over. I wish I was. But no, I got some more time with you guys. I really enjoy your.
When you start to see the guys go like this. And you see the stewardess doing the seatbelt thing. We're caught.
It's funny how you mentioned that the parking lot with the homemade wine and everybody brought, like, you know, not Brajol. Look, you got me saying Brajol. Gabagol. And it started out as just a couple people in a group. It was funny because I told Rick, that's how I started my Instagram page. The goal was to start a Rocky Comic-Con, strictly Rocky. Rockhead Con is what I was calling it at the time. You know, and get Stallone and get Burt Young and all these people and everything, and have it grow. And of course, it would have to be in Philly. You know, it's like, because you meet people that I never would have met before, you know, yourself included, Rick included. Yeah. And, you know, that there's this many people around the country and around the world that are fans of the same thing. And it's the same thing with like you said, the Italian festival. I mean, how many people might not even be Italian or might be out just because they're maybe Italian by marriage or whatever. And it would be as big as it is. So I'm glad PaisanCon took off and is doing well. I hope it has continued success.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And regardless of what celebration it is, I mean, I would love to see more of the parish festivals start to do better and build. I mean, we had unfortunately, a lot of churches closed and schools and parishes. There's still a few that are really good that are still intact, but you know, it's a pendulum back and forth. Things always wind up coming back in one form or another. But again, it's up to us to do it. And the young people, of course, and people with clout. We need the people with clout, because without them, we can't put these type of things together. Right. So, yeah. But it's speaking about Rocky, though, I have to say, from as long as I can remember, Rocky's always been a hero of mine to everybody in Philly. But even internationally, when I went to Italy, it was unreal how many people. I mean, it was you could turn the station and find something that Stallone was in. This might sound a bit corny. I don't know, but I really believe that this was a man that was touched by God, because it's unbelievable. The odds that were against him as a person, as an individual, were unbelievable. His upbringing, he shared a lot of this in a lot of his interviews, and he's gotten pretty candid about it. Guy had a rough life. Those guys had a rough life, man. And they could have went a whole other route, and you know what I mean. And look, he put it together. And what he did was, I really do believe the hand of God was involved, because look what happened. He's going to be able to – he's influenced hundreds of millions of people.
Oh, easily. He's immortal. I like you said, I know it sounds corny. I say this to Rick all the time. But I mean, he really is. He's immortal. I mean, back when, in 1938 or whatever it was, when Bob Kane made Batman, Batman's still around 100 years later and will be around 100 years more. This here is no different of a superhero, but has influenced tens of millions of people more than a superhero in the comics. I mean, his story alone, his personal story, the stories on screen, he's helped people through personal tragedies, health tragedies, you know, marriage problems, professional problems. I'm sure the three of us right here have had our issues we could talk about, that watching one of his movies made me get off my butt and say, you know what? Yeah, let's go. So he's immortal. He really is.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. So I have a question for you, Vinny, a little off the target here. All right.
Rick tends to be going down this path, and then, he sees something shiny and we're off. So, be prepared.
Okay, so Italian, Stallone, Avenging Angelo, one of my most favorite Stallone movies. Do you like it?
Avenging Angelo, you know, I seen it once. I have to be honest with you. I don't remember too much of it. Avenging Angelo. No, I don't remember much of it. I'll be honest with you. Rick. I can't lie to you. Why don't you bring up to speed about it, though?
Well, he was a bodyguard. For I wish I could remember that actor's name now. Very famous actor. He was in the guy he was being the bodyguard for, he had a daughter who the daughter didn't know that was his father. And he was then, after the father was killed by Vendetta, then he went into protect the daughter. And it was a lot of it was just Italian. It was very, very Italian movie.
Italian based.
I just love it. Just love the movie.
The old popular actor was Anthony Quinn. Remember him?
Thank you.
And, and the daughter was
Madeline Stowe.
Madeline Stowe. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a good cast.
Anthony Quinn was the best. Just to slip it in there, Anthony Quinn has a great story about how he met Bugsy Siegel. So I'm gonna leave you guys with a little homework. Check out that interview he does about his encounter with Bugsy Siegel. It's very interesting.
Okay. That's really
Anthony Quinn. Oh yeah, it's fascinating. I was like, wow, he actually, you know, but that's I don't want to be a spoiler. I will say though too, and I'm gonna throw this out there too, if you don't mind the plugging, but so right now I'm working on a screenplay. My partner and I, Sal Mazzotta, we're working on a screenplay. It's a mob comedy, and it's called Pasta and Cheech Crew, and it's about these bumbling wise guys.
I did see some of your Instagram stuff with Cheech, and yeah.
Well, we started doing these skits. Thank you. We started doing these skits, and they evolved into something bigger. And then we had some, you know, we had some people say, "Listen, you should make this into a short." So we went out and raised $25,000 through wonderful, beautiful people out there, and we raised $25,000, and we're like, wow, okay, we did this. And now we're starting to write the short. And then Sal gets in touch with Robert Ferretti, who's actually very friendly with the Stallones, and he's a major editor in LA. And so Robert Ferretti, along with the director, Michael Winnick, gave us a little bit of encouragement to go ahead and said, hey, you guys should make this into a feature. So we're now making into a feature. But my point of this is, I'm dying to get to that point where I can then throw it in somebody's lap that can present it to Frank Stallone, because there's some scenes in there with certain characters I think he'd be perfect for. But you know, that's pie in the sky. That's pie in the sky.
Yeah, I could definitely see him being in a mob comedy. Absolutely.
Dream big, out, he's brother. Dream big.
The glasses on. You know, I mean, I could definitely see that. That would be awesome.
Yeah, he's a funny guy, man. I think he would enjoy something like that. So I'll do my part. Let's hope Destiny does its part.
Right. Yeah, that'd be great. Well, Vin, we appreciate you coming on. I know, like I said, I know you had busy stuff going on today. I'm glad you came on the show. Glad we could collaborate a little bit. We had some good stories. We'll have to do this again, man.
Tony, Rick, I'm looking forward to it. I'd love to have you on my show if I'm going to plug it again, but it's Vinny Presents on YouTube. I invite everybody to come along, and I would love to have you guys on sooner than later.
Well, I'd love to do it. Yeah. You know, I do want to tell you this, though.
No, we definitely will. I appreciate it, Vin. Well, listen.
When Tony and I were down in Philly for Rocky Day, it was the first time I ever really got to spend any time in Philadelphia, ever. I mean, I've been down there twice prior, ran up the steps, ran out, and back on the road. 10 minutes. Very, very impressive, Philadelphia. I thought it was a very pretty city. Very nice. I was just overwhelmed by it. Very nice area.
It is. It's a great city. It's coming along. I know every city right now is having problems with crime and this and that. But remember what I said earlier about the pendulum swinging. Things will swing back to normalcy. Just got to keep praying, man. We need more people praying and more people doing the right thing out there. And be kind, like my friend says. Be kind. Be kind. You know, we got it. My friend Gene. Got to be kind. And we got to remember to love each other, man. It's a short run. You know, you go up them steps, it's a short run.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
And I will say that the one thing I got against Philly, though, is they should have kept their statue up at the top of the steps. That's the one thing I got to say. I'm a little mad at them, though.
Yeah. I do agree.
I agree. Looking wise, aesthetically, it's perfect at the top of the stairs. Of course, because it was up there with Rocky III, but going to visit it and how many people line up to take their picture with it, it makes more sense where it is now.
Yeah.
So I do, you know, I get it, but yeah, at the top of the stairs.
Could have been a liability thing. That's a good point. I always thought it was because we're Italian. You know, you get that Italian, like, hey, you know, you always,
we always get a little of this. Yeah. That's why we were so happy to have Rocky. He was the first Italian, you know, superhero. He was Italian to look up to.
You know, well, John, listen, I can't thank you enough. It's been my pleasure. And again, I look forward to having you on my show, and to all your fans. I encourage them to continue to support you guys. Any of my fans out there, please make sure you're following Tony and Ricky here. And
thank you. Thank
support you them much. Just as much as you support me.
Thank you very much.
Same goes right back to you, Ben. I appreciate it, pal. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Have a good one, guys.
Take care, man.
Told you he'd be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to hear more stories, too.
I know. Well, like he said, I could have kept talking. I know he had stuff to do. He had to go.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, I definitely could have kept talking. But, yeah, you know, we'll have to go on a show whenever he's ready and just chat some more, you know, chat some more and just do. I like the collaboration of it. You know, he's got a lot of followers. You know, we, you know, have a lot less than he does. But, you know, combining the, you know, the Philly Italian world and Rocky, and I just thought it was a perfect combination. So, and also the fact that he's writing a script, you know, doing some shorts and stuff. I thought it was perfect.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, we're everything Rocky and anything that falls off that platter. So
yeah, exactly. Rocky's getting played and oh, look at that. So
yeah.
Let me just
put
up here real quick where you can find Vinny. I'll put this up there. Okay. He's on YouTube. He's on iHeartRadio. And it's Vinny from South Philly. I'll put the other banner up there real quick so you can see that. There he is. And yeah, go check him out. He's got some funny stuff.
Yeah. He's got some funny stuff on it. I was on his Instagram page.
Go watch the Gianni Russo interview, the guy from The Godfather. Actually, no, you're not allowed to watch it. You have to go watch The Godfather.
Right? I do have to watch.
We're not going on a Rocky run until you watch The Godfather. I'll back out.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That should be illegal. First of all, that you're my brother and you're Italian and you haven't watched The Godfather.
I should have probably watched it when I was bedridden for a week and a half. But
yeah, really? Yeah, that's right. Rick was incapacitado for a little bit. He was he wasn't feeling very well. So glad to see you are up and back on the horse. Yeah. But yeah, that's your homework, my brother.
I will watch it. I promise you, I will watch it.
Here, I'll do this for you. Okay. My father knows Gianni Russo.
Okay.
They grew up together in the same neighborhood. Okay. I will work on getting him on the show, but you have to watch Godfather.
All three of them,
okay? Right? Godfather and Godfather 2. Well, I mean, technically you should watch all three, but 3 is definitely the redhead stepchild. Oh. I watched 3 because, it's got its issues. Here's a perfect way of putting it, okay? It's the Rocky 5 of the Godfather.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and we all love Rocky 5 in our own little way. We have something, but we all have our issues with Rocky 5.
Yeah,
Simple as that. Is the same thing. Francis Ford Coppola directed it. Beautiful writing. Al Pacino's in it. Yeah, it was just, it did not capture the lightning in the bottle as Godfather and Godfather Part 2 did. But watch those two. I'll work on Giovanni Russo, and we'll get him on. Because I'm not having him on if you don't know what's The Godfather. That'd be embarrassing.
Okay.
All right. Deal. You heard it, guys. Deal. He said deal.
Good deal.
For next week's episode, you guys are going to love next week's episode.
Oh, yeah.
We have some good stuff coming. I hope we've been hoping our ending the deal here. I say that all the time, but you guys are too shy to comment.
Well, you know, I mean, come on. I think we're doing pretty damn good for ourselves.
Oh. Well, I'll leave it on the Italian note. Forget about it. We're doing great.
Forget about it.
Forget about it. That's the great. Did you see Donnie Brasco with Johnny Depp and Al Pacino?
No.
Oh, I did not. All right. That's it. We're leaving. On that note, we're leaving, guys. Great show. See you next week.
Up on up.